Welcome to the Swirl and Sip podcast, where we keep it real, talking about womanhood, parenthood, and marriage. I'm your host, Sasha.
And I'm Sheree. And if this is your first time tuning into us, this is what you need to know about us. We're wives, we're boy moms, and we love wine, though we're not experts. This is Life Uncensored.
So get your wine glasses and your favorite bottle and get ready for today's episode. So, of course, we always like to start each episode with what we are sipping on. And today we are sipping on a Noble Vines Sauvignon Blanc because it's early. We're recording this early in the day and I tried to be semi-decent and pick a lighter wine.
Look, I don't understand. Y'all, I have no clue where these standards come from. This is the split.
I definitely recorded earlier before and had a red. So I was like, I'm trying to, and I felt a little, I didn't want to be judged, full disclosure, at the liquor store this morning because I got there before they opened.
I'm sure that so I got to the liquor store and was like, that's a lot of people outside. I've never been to this one. It was a new one. So I was like, oh, this looks seedy. But it's actually a very nice wine. They have a very nice wine selection. I was like, I just have to deal with the seedy people outside because I like this one.
So, I don't really do white, but I just drank this one. And like I said, it's Noble Vine Sauvignon Blanc. It's actually a 14.5, so, yay for that. But according to the tasting notes, it has tropical aromas of guava, gooseberry, passion fruit, and then it has a freshness of green grass. Medium bodied, it has bright acidity, and it offers Sheree's flavor of pineapple and a clean mineral finish. And unlike...
My favorite is stone fruits, but...
Yeah, but you loved the limelight menage a trois thing because of that...
I love fruit.
Nasty pineapple aftertaste.
There you go again with that nasty. Look, don't you be talking about... Pineapple did nothing to you.
I don't like it, but I'm happy because this one... This one
actually doesn't. No, but I do taste the passion fruit. I taste like the very fruity notes, even though it's not sweet.
Yes, it's not too sweet, but it also doesn't have like that pineapple finish, which I appreciate because I don't like that. So, and I don't know what a guava tastes like. I've never had guava. So
I've had guava.
Have you had a gooseberry?
No, I've never had a gooseberry, but I just assume that most berries, if they're not strawberries, are a little tart. So
It is very crisp. It does have a clean finish. So... if I'm going to drink a white, I think we've decided that it's going to be a Sauvignon Blanc if it's going to be a white for me. So
I tried to go through a list of things where you thought it was something else. Like, we finally have landed here.
I thought default. It might be a Pinot, but it's not. It's a Sauvignon Blanc. So That's what we are drinking today. And we are actually super excited because we have a guest today all the way from Italy. So it's our first international guest. Her name is Anna Savino. I hope I said that right. You can correct me.
Yes, perfect.
Okay, Anna Savino. She is originally from Napa, California, but she lives in the Piedmont region of Italy. She's been there since 2005. Of course, like I will talk about this. I went to Italy. My husband and I went to Italy last year. We loved it there because the wine is amazing.
Have not been yet is on my list.
The food is, we're going to talk about it, but her love for the region, especially the wines of the, I'm going to say this wrong. I know you told me how to say it. Barolo.
Exactly. Barolo. Barolo.
It's lettered to a career in food and wine. And she has an Italian tourist company, Italiana tourist company, and a Barolo wine club. And she specializes in organizing small groups tours. And she always seeks out to make them personal and unique gastronomic experiences for visitors. So we'll put her Facebook and her Instagram. We'll have her shout those out at the end of the episode, but welcome.
Our kind of guest. Yes.
Thank you. Yes.
We love to travel. We love wine. Oh my gosh.
Who doesn't? Well, buongiorno tutti. Hello.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno. See, I do know at least that's all I got.
Yeah. Sheree, we got to get you to it. As soon as they open everything up, you got to come visit.
Hopefully we're moving towards it.
So we went last September. We went over September 11th and we were there for 7 days and we were only in Rome. We did a quick day trip up to Florence just to go to Pisa or to see the Leaning Tower. And it was the wine in general was good. The coffee's amazing, but I've never had such good food in my life. Like it was the it was so good. And for the portions to be so much smaller than they are here, like, you would think that it wouldn't fill you up, but Sheree's shaking her head. She's like, you don't eat anything.
No, no, that's what I was going to say. I said, I'm waiting for you to finish because I'm like, Anna, you need to understand. I'm going to give you a side.
I ate a lot. I ate a cod thingy, a cod ball.
Sasha is the pickiest eater you've ever met. She doesn't eat vegetables. We've talked about this often, where she's like, the fact that she said, I ate so much and tried things.
It's Italy and it's pasta. It's my favorite food group.
Yeah, so, I mean, you do love just a carb. Like
pasta, plain pasta.
No, so we went to this one restaurant. I think it was called Ad Hoc in Italy, and they had like a tasting menu thingy, and they give you a different wine for each course. And mm-hmm. and I was just like, I'm just gonna go for it. I'm just gonna whatever they give
when
me.
When in
I'm just
Italy, let's go. When in Rome,
like, it was a pasta with like truffles and ooh. Like I said, a cod ball, some sort of. I ate some sort of pork, I think it was. It was the best food I've had in my entire life. It was
well, so we figured it out. Sasha just needs to move abroad and she'll eat. Got it.
No, and I think the great thing about Italy is that it's quite a simple cuisine, but the ingredients are just so tasty. You don't need to cover it up with a lot of different creations. It's just, you know, you've never had tomatoes that tasted so good with just a drizzle of olive oil and some salt.
That is very true. Now, while I have not been to Italy, I am a foodie. I am the foodie for me, I have been to places where authentically the food is just good. And like a good olive oil, a cracked black pepper and like bread. Oh, my God.
I had a salad that had a mound of grilled goat cheese and just apples and like walnuts in it. It was amazing.
And the other thing is that, you know, you can all across the board, like you can stop at the autogrill, they're called, like the, you know, mini market or like the gas station, and you can eat an amazing panino. You can, without spending a lot of money, you know, like where our region now has become quite famous for like luxury because we're famous for white truffles. We're famous for Barolo wine, which is one of the most expensive in the world. But you can just like go out to a normal cafe and have just amazing food for like €5 a dish, you know? And I think that's the biggest difference, where in the States, it's you can find really good food, but you have to pay a fortune for it.
So. Aren't going to a hole in the wall. Like here in America, it's like, you'll find a place, but you have to know that that's the place. Like you need someone to guide you there and be like, no, I know it looks seedy and shady. Yeah. I promise you it's okay.
And here, pretty much with your eyes closed, I mean, if you're in a big city like Rome or Venice, you do have to watch out for the tourist traps. You know, maybe they're just serving you like frozen foods or something. But in our area, it's very authentic. It's in the countryside. And really, I mean, eyes closed, you can walk into any single restaurant and just be wowed.
So. I'm so jealous. And we'll get into, I know you're drinking wine too. We just found out, we're recording this. I know this is coming out in January, but we're recording this right during the election. And so Joe Biden just won. I'm jealous that you've been living in Italy and you haven't had to deal with this foolishness.
Like, that's a question that I had, like a quick overview of like what you were from. You said from Napa, California.
Yeah.
What prompted you to just like, you know what, Italy? Because it sounds beautiful.
I think it's like a dream of everyone's to maybe spend a little bit of time in Europe or Italy or France or something like that. And I grew up in Napa. My family doesn't make wine, but I grew up around vineyards. And I think when I went off to college, which by the way, Sheree, I saw you went to college in North Carolina. Are you from North Carolina?
I'm from D.C., but I went to A&T, North Carolina A&T.
Yes. So I don't know if we're rivals because I went to UNC Chapel Hill.
No, actually, we're not rivals. We're actually in the same system. We're all in the same system. Good. You're good.
But I was an out-of-stater and a transfer student, so I don't even care about that stuff.
Exactly.
Anyway, when I moved away, I realized what a special place it was to be from in California. And I started kind of showing people around. Once we got to be 21 years old, it was like, hey, we're coming down to Napa. And I'd show them around the area and wine tasting. Yeah. And I realized it was really a passion for me. But anyway, since I transferred to UNC, I wasn't able to study abroad my junior year in Italy, like a lot of people do. So I made it a point to my family, because we're Italian Americans, and I made it a point to my dad, I promise you I will make it to Italy one day. And so I looked for jobs, and I couldn't find anything because there was like no internet, you know, going on in Italy at that time.
It was
time.
Just like, nah.
Like, what am I going to do? And I found, long story short, I found a teaching job at the foot of the Alps.
Wow.
So Piedmont is in the northern, the upper part of the boot, on the western side, on the border with France. So it's actually not really what someone would picture Italy being like.
No, I got you. I'm like, I that was a really good description. Like, I just want you to know that was a really good description, because I was like, okay.
Nice, good. So yeah, I think my family was originally from the south. You know, as many Americans, they're from southern Italy, and it's like two different worlds, north and south. And so I found myself in October, and I was only 21 years old. I had my like low rise jeans on, Converse, like, like my belly out. I come out of the plane. I was like, oh my God, this is freaking freezing out here. It's raining. I don't have a jacket. I don't have boots. I have nothing. I was in the Alps, you know? And
you legitimately was like, I went to the mountains
like,
in a shirt.
Not what I see on second. TV. This is not what I've been told.
Where's the seaside, Positano? Like with, you know, no. Like, and it was hard, but and the cuisine, like we're talking about food, was just, it's so different. There's butter, there's cheese, it's rich, you know?
This is all what I love. I love butter and cheese and pasta.
Okay, well, that's,
I mean.
And red wine, we're known for red wine. So
funny enough, like that's where me and Sasha have the same taste of what we like. The only difference is I just eat more of things that she likes, like that she like stops at like pasta. I go to the place where like I love pasta, I love seafood, all of those things. I have a toddler sitting right next to me that is like, it's scary when the toddler busts in the room and you're just like, I don't know what to do.
You're drinking on some red wine, which I'm jealous about. So what are you drinking on?
So I don't know if you guys have heard about this wine. It's called, the grape is called Barbera. So they also make a lot of Barbera in California, actually, like Amador Valley, where they also make some Zinfandel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Barbera is kind of an everyday wine for us here. It's really fruity. I think you would like it a lot. Fruity, high acid. So it's a good food wine. When a wine is high acid, it means it cleanses your palate when you're eating fatty foods.
Good to know.
Yeah. So like a lot of wines that have a lot of body and richness, they lack the acidity. So you might drink like one glass of it and just feel like full. Maybe it's, you know, when you're with your husband and you open up a bottle, there's some bottles that just disappear in no time. And then there's other bottles that are like, oh God, we'll save it for tomorrow, and the next thing you end up dumping it out, because a lot of that has to do with acidity. So Barbera has high acid, but it's rich and round and fruity.
I have a question that now, like you said, acidity is not the same as tannins, correct?
No, and this is confusing for a lot of people.
See, I was like, because I know that I don't like high tannins, but carry on. This is why I was like,
I'm like, I love them.
Like she will bathe in them.
Okay, so you will like Barolo more.
Because I like a very, like when I say I like a dry wine, like I like, like I need
like
to
she
drink
likes
some
that,
water.
Like, just a tinge of like, you know, a tinge of choking for her. I don't dislike, like, okay, let me be clear. I will drink, there's not many wines that I will not drink. Like there's never been a wine that I went to grad school in New York where liquor is expensive and I had to switch to drinking beer, which I don't. So by all means, whatever it needs to, but my preferred is more of, like I can do a Merlot. I can do Merlot. I actually like Syrah. I like Malbecs. So.
Okay. So you would actually like what I'm drinking because it has no tannins. Mm. So it's smooth. It's round. It's smooth, but it has high acid. and I'm lots okay with of fruit. That. So this one would be good for you.
Ooh.
And this wine's really cool because it's made by this like funky woman who moved from the city side to the country, and she kind of forgets about her wine in the barrels, and she's really alternative, and she's like, oh, hey, you know, like this is a Barbera. Normally you drink them the current vintage, like 2019 or something. And the one I'm drinking is from 2012, which is
yes!
It's her current release. So,
she's like, she was sitting there like, oh shoot, what's in there? That's the one. Like her.
Yeah. So it's fun to support the women, you know, too. But to answer your question, just real quick, the acid you can perceive by the salivation in your mouth, like when you eat a lemon, makes your mouth
Water,
and it's the salivating. And then the tannin is the opposite, where it's like drying, like sandpaper in your palate.
That's what I like.
I'm okay. So you know what? Then you probably don't like a high acidity, because I'm okay with that pucker, that watery mouth feel. I'm okay. You know what? I'm learning.
I need
so
to have
much.
My wine with a glass of water like that, because I need, because the water quenches my thirst, but the wine is there just to drink the wine.
Yeah.
So we are literally opposites, but please.
How did you get started in this, your wine tour business and having this wine club? Because when we saw that you wanted to be on the show, we were like, she has a wine, like she's in Italy with a wine club. And that's amazing because we love wine.
Italy is like a goal of like, I think Italy is a goal of any wine drinker.
Yeah.
I mean, like really.
So how did you get started in all of this?
Well, so I ended up staying here just because it was hard. Like I said, I mean, I almost wanted to go home right away. But at that time, Piedmont was really undiscovered. So it was all about Tuscany, all about, you know, the major cities. I couldn't find any books about Piedmont, like no Lonely Planet, no Rick Steves. It was just completely forgotten about. So once I started exploring, I realized like, oh my God, this is this little it's a gem. It's like what Cinque Terre used to be. And then it got discovered, and, you know, a lot of visitors would go to Rome or Florence and then make sure they visited the smaller, like, Cinque Terre area.
Oh.
But this place, like, no one had heard of. So it kind of dawned on me, well, I'm going to start a blog and just write about all, like, be a reference point for people who want to move here. Because back in those days, the blogs were really, really...
That was it. You had a blog. You know, like Blogspot was the thing.
Yes, it was a Blogspot. I started out with Blogspot. But it kind of got me into this world. I was like, oh, I'm so ignorant about these wines. And it's so interesting. And I grew up in Napa, so it's like, it's a more commercial experience. Have you guys ever been to Napa?
I have not, but a goal.
Yeah, because we have two other, our wine night girls, and we've talked about one of our girls' trips going out to Napa and doing
that.
Like,
might be
Napa
actually
whole.
The next one because of everything going on with Rona and, you know, not able to. We usually go, like, we went to Puerto Rico. So we've gone to, like, we go away, but with Rona, we were like, well, what is beautiful here? And we were like, Napa. Yeah.
We got to stay a little closer to home these days. But
and a closer to home, California is perfectly fine.
I actually did a wine tour for some winemakers from the state of Georgia once, which was really surprising.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyway, so I'm not saying it's commercial in Napa. It's just a different experience where, you know, you don't really know who owns these wineries a lot of times. You walk in. And they've got it down. It's like the market, they have merchandise. You walk in, it's like everything, you get your maybe three glasses with like a little pour. And then I went here and I'm like, oh my God, they don't even speak English. You're walking in their houses. You're sitting in their kitchen. I'll never forget, I got there late once. It was like 5:30 p.m. And the wife was like cooking all these homemade pizzas in the kitchen. And then we ended up staying there for dinner because the tasting went so long and we were with the winemaker. And it was like,
I love that.
Yeah. It's like so intimate and so real and so special, because even in the last 15 years that I've been here, that's been changing. So I have these memories of like a casual conversation like this with a winemaker right in front of you, you know, in their house, because they don't have tasting rooms.
That's amazing, though. Like that kind of experience.
Because
like you said, like even here, you know, in this area, we do have wineries and we have smaller smaller wineries. So yep. they are more locally owned, but it's, I feel like it's still kind of the same thing. You know, you walk
because
in,
of the area, you know, yeah, like yeah. It's our area is touristy.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So even, and even our wineries are like, oh, you know, we have all of the little, you know, merchandise that we sell.
Accoutrements. Can we say accoutrements? That's my favorite word. That's my favorite word. Accoutrements. We have everything like already there.
What does that even mean?
Accompaniments. It means like the little
embellishments.
Embellishments. It's my favorite word, and it probably doesn't exactly mean that, but it's like the little embellishments, some little like gems that you sprinkle on top.
But they're all like that here. Like you go and you don't, you might not see like who owns the winery or who's making mm-hmm. the wine or anything like that. So
it's,
I think
like the most you'll see is like the bins or, you know, the barrels. It's like, oh, okay, yeah. that's how, but you don't really see the process. You don't mm-hmm. understand how it went. Like you are like, I got to experience a winery. That's literally all it's for.
Yeah. And a lot of times it would happen that we wouldn't even talk about wine. It was like wine was just the entry, like it allowed us to connect and talk about things. So sometimes they're like old, these little old men, and they start talking about their, you know, town politics and stuff. And it's just such, so funny.
I love
so
it.
So I ended up doing the sommelier course.
Oh.
And so I did that. And then I worked at a famous winery in Barolo to get experience. And I said, I got to do something on my own. So then I opened up my own tour business, which has suffered quite a bit this year.
We were getting ready to ask that about like, you know, Rona and
say, how is that? Because I know we know like originally it hit Italy really hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't
remember. Our lockdown was a full on lockdown. Like I
like y'all were locked down like section by section lockdown.
Yeah.
Well, and I can't remember because I know like at one point it was really bad either in the north first and then the south and then like now it's. Or it was it just all of Italy?
It's mostly the north, so okay. around Milan.
Oh,
okay.
That's where it started out. And then, so we're not far from, and we're about 3.5 hours from Milan.
Oh, that's close.
But again, we don't have a really dense population. So
which is good.
Right. It didn't hit us as hard here. But now we are in the red zone with a second lockdown.
Oh.
So this has been pretty demoralizing, but for my business, it was like once this happened in March, my whole year was affected by it.
Wow.
But now it's all the small businesses because we were not allowed. I couldn't leave think of what hell it was. I was in my apartment, small, tiny little apartment with two little kids. Mm. And we could not go outside. We couldn't step foot. I mean,
like y'all were locked down.
Like y'all were like on house arrest.
Y'all were on lockdown. Like we should have been. Like everyone should have been on lockdown. We're okay. So we're in DC, like the DMV area. We're in DC and Maryland. Well, more so mm-hmm. Maryland. But we were on PG County. Our county was on like lockdown. Where you can go to work if you have to.
Yeah, right.
You can go to the store,
and then it was like you can't be on the road after like 8 o'clock.
Like they legitimately locked us down, but the whole area as a whole, like our area was kind of like they were if they saw you outside, it wasn't like they were going to like arrest you, but we were like, no, please. Please can you?
And of course, no. Oh my!
But we were just like for us. But remember, the reason that we were saying that is because there were so many people like having gatherings and breaking like these rules that we were like, we're never going outside again.
I think that's the I mean, Italians are famous for not following the rules, you know, and so I think that was kind of the reasoning behind it. But actually, everybody was like being really good. I do think. We could have been able to go on, like, do some exercise on our own, mm-hmm. walking around and running around in the open. I mean.
And we did get to, like, walk around our block. Like, we could go around. Like, they said you can go around your neighborhood. Like, I took walks daily. So I get, like, you're like, no, we're in the house. I can walk from my kitchen to my living room.
Exactly. I had like a little Fitbit thing on and I would look at the steps and I'd be like, my goal for today is 1,000 steps. And I'd be like, man, I was half of that today. That was bad, you know?
Like, I'm just trying to do a flight of steps today.
But what I did? I have to admit, we took our kids down in the garage, like in the apartment complex downstairs in the garage. And I would just like let them go like dogs, like
go.
Run, scream, get it all out of you.
No judgment here. Okay.
None.
Like,
none at all.
Do you understand? Like, we have 3-year-olds. And so I'm just like, at certain points in this whole virtual learning / summer, not knowing what's going on, I was like, you know what? Go run in the field. I feel exactly. like we had puppies at some exactly. point.
And then at some point when it was getting to be like, okay, this is 3 months of this, we're all going out of our minds. We have a van with like shaded windows. And we actually, because then the rule was we couldn't like go farther than 250 meters, which is basically like outside of your house. Mm-hmm. But in Italy, the grandparents are really, really important here. Mm-hmm. They're like the baby. There are no babysitters here. It's all yeah. grandparents.
We both have that same situation.
Oh, that's so special. It's so awesome. And so we're like, okay. It was like a secret mission. Like I would be upstairs. Claudio to my husband, you go down in the garage. I'm sending him down right now. Quiet, quiet, quiet. He was in the van with all the like shaded windows. Would like gather him in the car and then they'd take him to the nonny's house, the grandparents' house, where they had a little bit of a green area behind their house. Oh, and then okay. we just like let him
run free.
And that saved us. That saved us.
Yeah.
But it's real. And I think that that's like what we wanted to think about when we were like saying, hey, this is a really good topic to talk about, because like not only do you have a business that definitely has been affected, because I mean, anything with travel or anything with the tourism industry was like completely snuffed out.
I only work with Americans, basically. So and it was so heartbreaking.
Can't go anywhere.
No, and it was so heartbreaking in March when it was supposed to be like my best season.
It was like
ever.
You were like revving up, yeah. okay, and you were like, yeah. what?
Especially because I went home for 2 months and at Christmas time, and so that was a lot of money. And then came wow. back like, okay, now I got to get my act together. We need to start making some money. And it was just like having to refund all the work I did, because I do everything. I receive all the emails. I personalize every single tour. And then I take them out, I accompany them. And it was like so devastating. I'd spent weeks on some tours and I just had to fully refund them. And
I mean, the biggest thing is for our listeners, shout out to every small business owner, because this is what we're talking about when we say, like, everyone thinks of the corporations that get these bailouts and everything. No, the small business owners are what we're talking about, where you're like, no, this is my livelihood. Like, these are the things that I'm like, they take their time on stuff. And as well as, this is nothing that we can do anything about. It's like,
my husband and I do this together. So this is our family income.
Wow. But, I know you said you started this your new project called The Guide Collective as a way for folks in your kind of industry, the tour industry, who have lost their jobs and have, you know, been dealing with all of this. So how does that work? And is it, I hope it's helping people.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's, you know, it's caused us all to think out of the box. And, you know, you can either sulk and just like feel sorry for yourself, or you have to think of new ways to make money and to do something with your time. And me with 2 little kids, I don't really have that problem, but the money is the problem. So it's cool, because I don't want to name the company, but there was a very big company that organizes group tours to Europe. And this company basically let go all of their guides who are either on site here in Europe or in the US. Wow. And even if he didn't let them go, I mean, they still have no work. So they were really, really great. And they came together and made a guide collective to help each other. And it wasn't just about philosophy and theory. It was like, okay, let's help each other to make money. Like that's what, so we cross promote each other. We're trying to do virtual tours, because the one benefit about being here in Italy right now, especially in the summer when we could move around, was that there were no tourists, which happens so rarely to see the Vatican empty, to go to Venice and just have empty streets. So to maybe offer this as like, okay, it's a little bit expensive, maybe 50 euros or 100 euros. You could have your own private tour in one of these, you know, famous places in Italy. It's almost more special in some ways. And it's also
I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
Because when we went to the Vatican, you know, we stood in line to go to the Vatican. There was when we went to the Sistine Chapel, it was just so, there was so many people in there. Like you can barely even like take it all in just because of all of the people that are there. And then just we stayed right by the Spanish Steps. So being there like every day, it was nothing but just tourists. Every day. Yeah. And of course we're tourists, but
no,
it's just like,
but sure. So the thing is that Sasha, you're a tourist the same way that I like to do to travel. So me and Sasha like to travel in a way that you engulf yourself in the culture.
In the culture.
It's like,
yeah.
So when I went to Costa Rica, I did a study abroad in Costa Rica. I promise you, I lived with a family. I lived not in the main city, but it was like, we went around to all of these little spots and different things. That's what I like. When I've gone to the Virgin Islands, we had a tour guide who literally showed us the poorest parts, the nicest parts, everything. Like, and so when you said like you were in Piedmont and you were like, oh my gosh, this is beautiful. I'm in someone's house. I was like, I'm in love. Like that is my kind of, no, because that's what I love. And that's the kind of stuff I love, to be able to sit down and I'm like, we're talking.
Experience.
And
like
you don't
so
get to,
of,
and you don't have
country.
To. When people do touristy stuff, and I mean, with us living in the DC area, you living in Napa and growing up there, and like even thinking of, I went to school in New York. All of those places are big tourist traps at certain points where you have things that they're like, you must do this. And I'm like, do you really? No, I've had more fun at like a party down the street.
Right. No, no, I totally get it. But I do think that, you know, the history in these Italian cities is so special that you have to go see them, but also balance it out with like the countryside and the real people. Yeah. You know, you want to
that's
be with
it.
People.
That's it. It's like, yes, I want to be able to see, like, I want to go to, so that's why like 7 days sounds like, Sasha, you had the perfect trip where you're like, I'm going to do, I'm going to do these, like, these things where you're like, you must do this. But then I'm like, let's chill. Tell me where you eat. Like my favorite question to ask someone who's not, when I'm in a new area, is tell me where you eat. No, no, no. Don't tell me like where is the best place. Tell me where you go. Because, and that's what, for me, like when I went to New York for school, I hung out with all New Yorkers. So it was really weird because I did not do any tourist thing. Like the things that I did not see when they're like, you live in New York and you didn't see the Statue of Liberty. I'm like, not really. You know, I mean, I definitely did some stuff, but like they didn't go there.
My family's from New York and I've only seen it. I've been to the Statue of Liberty one time.
Exactly. Like when I lived with, when I was in Costa Rica for the 2 or 3 weeks that I was there, the families that I was there, we talked about what is around. I explored my neighborhood. We did some things that were like beautiful tourists, but then at the same time, I could walk down the street and I knew that's what I love.
Do you see I guess that industry, the tourism industry and tour guides coming back anytime soon? Like, does that worry you that we're just all in this
not
being able to go anywhere?
I mean, right now for all of us, we would be entering into our low season for the winter anyway. I've already postponed in the spring, last spring, I already postponed tours to this spring. And now we're postponing those again until the fall. So I'm hopeful for the fall, but that's why it's been so good that I have this wine club too, which I started as kind of a fun hobby. But I think
I was gonna say,
going
tell
back
me about
to
this
the,
wine club.
Yes, about
is
this.
It, is it only for Italians?
Because we
how
like
do we partake in such wine club.
It's basically only for Americans, actually. But
even better.
One thing to say about the tourism before I stop. I think it's going to be a better quality of tourism that comes because we can't do these massive, big group bus tours. So I think it's going to be
like
smaller groups. You know, everything's going to be a little bit
curated for
curated,
like personally.
Like, not, you know, they won't be able to pack you into places. So I think in that sense, it might be harder to get over here. But once you can, it might, you might have a better quality experience. And so for the wine club, I started doing that because I'm from Napa and that's what they do. That's how they survive is wine clubs. And that also didn't exist here. And I kept thinking like, wow, you know, there's so much variety here. So many stories to tell. I'm a storyteller. That's my job. I love, like I said, these small little wineries, there's always something to tell about them. And I wanted to help these businesses. So I thought, you know, okay, I want to put together a selection twice a year, send them off to Americans who can try them. And then learn about the region, learn about these grapes, and learn about the stories of these small winemakers that maybe aren't the 100-point wines, but to normal people's palates are delicious. And
so Swirl and Sip will be like looking into this wine club, because no, seriously, like
we're
that's
be
like
part of the wine club.
No, because that sounds amazing. Like that's really, that's what we're about. Okay. Cause as we and Sasha talk about all the time, we are not sommeliers. We do not have any, we just like wine. And I mean, truthfully for me, I just like to, like, I'm a drinker of like, wine sometimes, give me a nice, you know, dark liquor, like, whatever. But yes.
As we've been doing the show, we have noticed that our palate is becoming more, like, quote unquote, refined, like, because we are able to taste things that we couldn't before.
Never would have
casually drinking wine.
Yeah,
I can now tell when something has high tannins, and I promise you, I didn't even know what tannins were. Like, I heard of it. I'm like, casually, I'm like, yeah, I know that. Red wines have tannins. You know how you like know the like little notes that you're like, yeah, I mean, white wine is this, red wine, sparkling. No, now we can like distinguish when they say stone fruit. I'm like, I taste it. I know what that is. Berries. I might not know all the berries. I mean, like, because I still don't know. You say gooseberry. Don't think I've ever had that. Don't think I've ever had that. So I'm like, whoever had a gooseberry, great. But for me, I'm like, I'm going to imagine it's that tartness, you know?
Oh, definitely. And that's the thing about wine. It's like a drug. If you're like thirsty for knowledge into this whole world, and once you like step into that rabbit hole, it's like, oh, there's no going back. And that's where for me, I don't actually drink that much, but I just, on the geeky side of it, where I love learning about it. And I love... And it's just never ending. So that's the fun part. And like I said, these family stories are just so interesting that that's what intrigues me more than the actual wine itself, I guess.
I mean, you do have a lot of stuff. Like every year things change. So like the frost, right now, what we're going through is going to have an effect on the wine. I'm like,
some pandemic wine.
Like, and I love that. Like, no, so you're right. So one thing about both of us is that we are actually really geeky. Even though we are geeky, like Sasha is a different type of geek. Yeah, Sasha is a Harry Potter
As I wear
geek.
My Harry Potter shirt.
But I am more of like I'm a social worker. I'm a psychology person. So for me, analyzing.
Me too. I have my
degree
in psychology.
So I'm telling you, so that was my undergrad. So I'm like analyzing.
I was going to go to school. I was going to go to school for psychology. I just didn't feel like getting a doctorate, which is why I switched to business.
That's why I went to get an MSW, because I said, nah, I'm good. I'm not doing a PhD.
I want to ask you before we kind of wrap up the episode, you said you had two kids and, you know, you're raising them in Italy. And I think there's this idea, at least, you know, on this side of the world, that Italian mothers like smother their children, or I guess their sons. And like, you know,
their sons. It's like this. You are my baby.
Watching Jersey Shore. Yeah, like, you know, the sons are like the most important thing.
Oh yes.
And, you know, no one is ever good enough for
Sasha,
an Italian
isn't
mother.
That similar to Latino culture.
It's very similar. Yep. How is it though raising your kids there? You know, being raised here and raising them in a different country, because were they born there?
Yeah. So my husband's Italian, and we actually had to move once I was pregnant because we had to be closer to our in-laws, which for me, we were only 20 minutes away. But for my husband, that was too far.
What? So
wait
a second. You have blown my mind already. I'm like,
so,
well.
We are now about 5 minutes walking distance, and that is perfect.
Wow.
Yes. But that's even far for a lot of people.
Oh my gosh.
They live on the same premises with their parents. But
it's like my VFX Greek wedding. Oh my goodness. Yep. It's real. I love when movies are like somewhat accurate and you're like, oh, so that's like a really good
reminding
thing.
You of something. But I have to say the Piedmontese people, because they're in the north, are a little bit more reserved and a little bit smaller families. It's not quite like what you're like the big.
It's not the big like stuff.
But we are famous for the red meat here. And it, in that movie, when he, the guy was vegetarian, I'm actually vegetarian. And it was like,
you don't eat no meat?
What?
No, you don't eat no meat. That was it. Exactly.
Fine, I make you lamb. You're like, what?
Every time my husband was sick, it was like, it's because your wife is not making you enough meat. When I was pregnant, my mother-in-law was like, you're not going to tell me you're going to, you know, still stay vegetarian. I was like, yes, I am. My blood is fine. And he was born like a 9-pound baby. So he's healthy. Okay.
Like, it's wow. Like, you know, like vegetarian, like they don't get it. You're like, vegetarian is fine.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I think, so we do tend to be, I've become almost a little bit like an Italian mother in that sense, I guess, where, and we could talk about this on a whole different episode. There's so much to talk about, but like I've never been out with my husband and for dinner, and they're 4 and 6. I've never had a babysitter come and watch them at night.
Oh. It's
because it's like this maternal, like I
You don't haven't want, had a date night?
We have, but maybe it's like my sister-in-law who comes.
Oh no, you like who comes and watches? There's no babysitter. It's grandma. No babysitter. It's Nani.
Nani, yeah, but it's very rare. And the thing is that we're such late night people that it means my kids stay up till midnight. And if you get a babysitter to watch them, it's not like, oh hey, watch a little bit of TV and eat some mac and cheese and then go to bed. No, it's like a hard job because you have to stay with them awake until 11 or 12 p.m.
Oh no.
But
I'm the I think, you know, the Latino culture is very similar where there's all kinds of differences where it's like really apprehensive about everything, like you can't be barefoot on the floor. You can't go out. You're going to get a cold if you don't wear a scarf. If there's wind, you're going to get sick. If it's like,
Oh, so in other words, like the Black culture, the Latino culture and Italian culture are just all the same. This is the of color culture then.
Oh, really?
Cause I'm sitting here like my mother has literally looked at me when like I've brought him over and she's like, so you just don't have an undershirt on? I'm like, it's like 80 degrees, mom. Like it's 80 degrees.
Growing up, it was like, you know, we had tile floor and it was, what are you walking around? You don't have any socks on?
Yes.
Like you're going to get a cold because you don't have any socks on walking around barefoot. Like
my son does not have slippers anywhere else but at his grandmother's house.
Okay. Yeah, it's I mean, the undershirt is called the maglia di salute. It's called the health shirt in Italian.
I love it. Do you have your health shirt on? Love it. No, but that's true. Like, so in other words, you're going to pick up, I mean, obviously because you've been there, you're going to pick up on certain things. Like as we all do, we pick up on things, but the fact that you do have like the distinction, you're like, it's not that serious.
And sometimes I'm like, take off your jacket. It's fine. Take off your scarf. Don't tell the nanny. Don't tell
Yeah.
I'm like the easygoing, relaxed, like California girl who's, you know,
You're the California girl who's like, yeah.
And they're all like,
that's what
oh
I was
my God. They're
ask.
Like,
do you think it,
go ahead.
Do you think it's different being raised as an Italian American in, of all liberal places, like California? And then, you know, going to Italy and marrying an Italian, having, you know, raising your kids in Italy, like, is being raised as Italian American very different from being raised like in Italy? Or do you think like your kids are kind of having similar experiences to how you grew up?
That's a good question.
I'm Italian American, but still like fifth generation. So, you know, I think I still was raised more California style where,
yeah,
we didn't have, I mean, that next generation up, like maybe my father would have had those kind of similar Italian experiences. But yeah, I mean, I get a lot of looks from like older women, you know, if I had my baby in the stroller with like no socks on and stuff like that, where they're just like, who are you?
What are you doing?
Exactly. Or I remember when I took my son to elementary school, it was like, my first question was, where's the playgrounds? Like, where's the grass? And it was like, what? No, they don't play. They don't have grass. They don't play outside. It's like in these old historic buildings and sit in these desks and it's serious. It's like first grade and they're like what it was like.
We are in school, but yeah, also over and, there, they don't go to, wow, like their schooling is a little bit different than over here, right?
Oh, totally. And so they go to school on Saturday because they have half days because lunch is so important. So every day they're home by lunch and they eat, you know, pasta every day. And that's, wow, just such an important part of the day is to eat lunch. And, you know, sports are not so important here. Extracurricular activities, not so important. They just kind of hang out and,
oh my gosh,
do smoke cigarettes on the court. Like the teenage kids are like, if you don't play soccer, you basically don't play any other sport and you just,
oh,
yeah, hang out, wow, and talk and, yeah, so just a lot of differences.
They don't have so much pressure.
It's just like, hey, what do you want to do? All right. No. I mean, there's pressure in certain areas where it's like, I mean, you have pressure, but they're just like, roam free, have fun.
Yeah. And in fact, I was like, okay, I love sports. I played basketball. I was like, when I have a kid, I'm going to, 2 years old, I'm going to make them play sports. So they're going to be good. Here in Italy, they won't let the kids play sports until they're like minimum age of 5 normally.
Oh,
wow.
So there's not much they can do. You know, they have free play at the parks.
That's
maybe
beautiful.
Like gymnastics they can do when they're like 3 to 5, but otherwise there's no, it's not allowed because people really believe that they shouldn't, wow, be doing sports until, you know, an older age. Even like reading and stuff. I remember like, you know, I start looking on American sites. I'm like, whoa, maybe my kids should be reading already. And nobody talks about that here. And the teachers are like, no, they should not even, you shouldn't even mention that stuff or try that until they're in first grade. And then when they go to first
grade.
What?
Yeah. It's
Lord, I need to move to another country. So what you've told me is that like the American values that we have is the thing that is making our children anxious and angry. Okay. Got it.
It's so competitive in this. I just remember that. And so I think I still have that in me a little bit. Uh-huh. Which is why I loved your Pinterest, you know,
podcast.
I listened to that and I was like, I'm so glad for that reason I'm not in the States. It's just too much pressure. And with, you know, I see that stuff online, but then when I compare myself to Italian moms, it's like, okay, they're not worried about it.
You're fine.
He just started first grade and he like learned everything in 2 weeks, you know, and so they're all, wow, on the same level because they don't want people to be, oh, well, I'm from this background, advanced, and I'm from this, and I'm privileged for this reason, and I already know this. It's like, no, we all start at the same.
Everybody move to Italy because this sounds beautiful. Like, literally, that's the ideal because we always talk about, like, the mom guilt and the, like, pressure to, like, do everything. Is your kid okay?
Something.
And everything like that. Something. But... Yeah. Like the fact that what you're talking about is like, kids are kids. They'll be fine. They'll learn what they need to learn. And like, it's okay to, yeah, like step back, which,
yeah,
it's like a big relief. And I know that's probably an adjustment for you because you grew up here where you're like, huh? what do you mean?
Yeah. And even so I taught in the high schools too, English. And, you know, I feel like there was no pressure for them to get into college, to go to university. My husband, he didn't go to college. He went to a good high school. Their high schools are all the science high school, the language high school, the computer science high school, like vocational kind of. So they might go to high school for 5 years, but it used to be like that. And then they'd come out and they'd be ready for a job to start working. There's the plumber school. There's like all kinds of stuff.
So they like focus on like, they come out with a trade, but also they come out with the understanding of it's like, okay, yeah, where we over here push college, you need a 4-year degree because actually most of the job requirements require you to have a degree, even entry level. Yeah. Like that's what we're moving to, even though it's stupid.
It's changed here too, but it's like, okay, we live here near the big city of Torino. Mm-hmm. So everybody just knows that they're going to go to a University of Torino and they live at home and they take a train and they go there, which I don't really like. I kind of like being the independent, you know, side of things, which like you said, Italians are not independent at all. It's like all mama, papa, nonna, like do everything for me. And so I think there are some good things about our American ways.
Yeah, we're not saying that we need to scrap everything, but we definitely need a big revamp. That's what we're saying. We're like, we like the bones. Like, have y'all seen HGTV, The Good Bones? We have good bones.
Good bones. Y'all got good bones.
But definitely we need like a revamp of a whole lot.
But Italy, I mean, we have our problems. It's like not... It's all about who you know, what kind of family you're from. It's all like connections, and it's not looking at your, you know, transcripts. It's looking at who your family is.
It's looking at your family. It's like, so do you know this person? So it's kind of the nepotism piece where you're like, oh, Lord, I can't escape that. I thought that I moved over here and I was good. Nope.
You know, you have to be very patient to live in Italy. Everything is just long and tedious and bureaucratic. I mean, you know, the U.S., there's a lot of red tape, but here in Italy, it's like the worst.
Well, I think that's just when we went, because my husband and I went to Greece, too. And I think that's just the nature of, like, Europe and, like, over there. Everything is, we got the impression that everything is just way more relaxed and, like, it's fine. Like, we'll take care. It'll happen when it happens. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's relaxed, like, from the institutions and the offices and but if you're an anxious person and you're like, I need this now, and you're efficient. Yeah. Like, I'm an American. I have a lunch break. I want to be able to go do errands at my lunch, not like, take 2 hours and be forced to sit here and eat lunch and rest because that's what we do. Nothing's open. A Sunday, I want to be able to do something. If I have to do it and not plan, like it stresses you like, oh my God, I finished work and the shops, the bakery closes on Thursday afternoons and the pharmacies closed on Monday afternoons. And this is like, that can create anxiety and stress for like the normal everyday kind of routines. But yeah, like the state office workers, they're very relaxed because it can take forever to do
things. Yeah, we'll do it when we do it.
I'm saying like, I think that I am enjoying, and I think that what we have solidified is that Sasha, you and me, or all four of us. We need to make it over to Italy.
At some point.
Then our kids can play together and we can just hang out drink and eat.
Kids too? Oh, okay. My vacations don't include the children right now. I mean, they will.
Oh, really?
They will. See, Only because he's three.
I was going to ask you.
When my husband and I went.
With your kid? No.
No. Nah. We left him.
Oh, nah. I would never leave my kid for more than like 2 days.
See, no. We have done maybe 3 trips where our children weren't only with, like sometimes they were with our grandparents. Most of the time, like the other good benefit that me and Sasha have is that we have our grandparents, or more so our parents. Mm-hmm. We have our parents like to help. So Sasha, your mom, and Richard's parents, like, I have like Brandon's parent, both parents, but mostly his mother and my parents. There is never a lack of babysitter that is really family. Like you said, my family, the pandemic didn't hurt us because like he was with my mom. I just was like, okay, this is a little too risky. So I'll take him. Yeah. But
when we went to Italy, we would FaceTime my son every night. He did not miss us at all. Like he would run to the phone, say hi, and then would be like, okay, hi mommy, hi daddy, and then he would go back playing whatever he was doing. He was without us. And we were supposed to go to Thailand this year. Now we're probably gonna go next year, hopefully. And my husband and I have it like we want to do an international trip every year if we can, just us. Like we don't plan on taking our son until he's much older, like old enough to like walk around, like we don't have
old enough to not take a nap,
you know, he can stay up all day, type of stuff. So
the good thing about Italy, they're super kid friendly here, so you can take them to Michelin star restaurants. You don't have to be scared to say to a restaurant, I'm coming with my 1-year-old. I mean, they love kids.
That's the difference between America, because you get that there, because you get that like looks. Like if you bring your child into like a fancy, as we call it over here, fancy restaurants, you're like, did you really bring your child, your screaming or upset child who's cranky, cranky? No.
I know. And even, I mean, people are like whipping out their boobs, like, I'm breastfeeding in the middle of the restaurant.
I love it.
They don't care at all. It's embraced. But I think that's why Italy has so few kids, too, is because, like, we're so just like we bring them with us everywhere. We don't detach ourselves at all from them. So it becomes a lot to take on if you have multiple.
It's like, yeah, this is like, it's like, okay, we brought one into the community. Come on, y'all.
But I love it. It's cool.
We do want to thank you so much for being on. Where can we find you on Instagram and on Facebook?
So on Instagram, I'm at Italiana with two N's, like my name, Italiana Wine Tours. And then my wine club, if you're more into wine, I only focus on that. And that would be at Barolo Wine Club. And then through that, you can find me on Facebook. The Barolo Wine Club, it's pretty expensive because of shipping is super, super expensive from Europe. Half of it is shipping, basically. But if you ever want to just like write me a private message, like, hey, can you find me some good value wines to ship over? It's all curated. So
awesome. Or just
follow me on my pages. I do interviews with winemakers. I explain grapes. I do a lot of stuff. So
I have one last question I have one last question that I was like, did you already know any Italian, or how long did it take you to immerse yourself and integrate into like knowing Italian?
I didn't know any Italian. I knew how to pronounce the food correctly because my dad is Italian caterer. So I knew bruschetta. Okay. It's bruschetta.
Oh, okay. Bruschetta.
Things like that. But my town, nobody spoke English. So when I arrived there, they were like pointing to this hotel, and because it was the only guy who spoke English who stayed in Australia for 6 months. So they directed me to him and I had to find my way. So I had to learn quickly.
Oh, wow. Lord. Okay. I just had to, just thought of that and I said, damn, I would love to move abroad. That's awesome. At the same time, like, you definitely have to know.
I think it's definitely something you would do when you're 21, like when I went, but when you're in your 30s or.
We're setting our ways.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Just had to throw that one out there.
So you'll be able to find all of Anna's links. We'll put them in the show notes and we'll tag them in IG as well. Make sure, go check her out, because we will definitely be checking out this wine club. We might have to put all four of us, we'll throw in our money together and all four of us can be a part of this wine club. We really do love wine.
This is our
favorite. It's our alcoholic beverage. Yeah.
Excellent.
So we'll put all of that in the show notes.
If you find any wines where you live about Piedmont, just ask me questions, write to me. I love talking about it. So you guys so much.
Thank you. So make sure that let us know if you have been to Italy, if you've ever been to the Piedmont region, we want to hear about it. We didn't go up north, so I would love to hear about your experiences traveling to Italy. You can always reach out to us on Instagram. I'm sure there's a conversation happening right now. We're at Swirl and Sip Podcast. You can email us at hello@swirlandsippodcast.com. Make sure that you subscribe, rate and review the episode. That does help us get found. We're on all major podcast platforms, Apple Podcast, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon, all that good stuff. Alexa will play us if you ask her to. So you can find us on all of the major podcast platforms. If you want to hear us talk more about wine and you love having these conversations, make sure that you check us out on Patreon, where you can support the show. patreon.com/swirlandsippodcast. You can become part of our sip squad, where we have more extended wine talks, we have extended episode clips, some behind the scenes action that goes on, all of the fun stuff. So make sure that you check us out there. Thank you again to Anna for being on the show. We really enjoyed the conversation. Yes. And as always, make sure that you have your wine glasses ready for next week's episode.
Bye, y'all.
Ciao. Ciao, ciao.